Hello there, Patreon listener. This is Will here. I know it's a bit strange to be listening to my voice in isolation right now. I am here to just give a little introduction to what we're going to share with you. What we have is an outtake from an episode that I am currently editing, an episode which is coming out next week, which is for Best Undercover Scene. The episode, as it is incredibly long, right? So I'm trying to find anything that I can to cut and extract and reduce the length of the episode. One of the things that I've cut is a conversation we had about Cruising, the William Friedkin film that both myself and Kevin had watched in preparation for the record. I thought it was an interesting conversation and felt, listen, let's not lose this because it was an interesting film to watch. We had a nice chat about it, but I felt it was something that we could cut to save on time, and we were ultimately a little bit mixed on it. We had thoughts and it just didn't fit with the flow of the episode. So I thought this would be a good way of maybe using all of the animal, taking all of the bits that we feel we kind of have to lose from the show to make the show at least a little bit lean, and also give you kind and fair and wonderful erudite and intelligent listeners some interesting film chats. So here you are, a little outtake from our upcoming episode from Best Undercover Scene, which is a very good episode because it's a me episode.
I thought you were going to say Cruising.
I watched Cruising as well for this, but not Cruising. To Live and Die in L.A. Okay. Is
Stall on a second. Stall on, though. Before you get into The Live and Die in L.A., which is a fucking brilliant film.
Yes.
Brilliant. And I only just saw it recently, like a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But I want to get your take on Cruising. Because okay. I avoided that for donkey's years. I think it was banned for a long time.
Yeah,
but
it was definitely banned
here. But I avoided it because
here.
I thought it was going to be very fucking full on and seedy and grotesque. I thought that he would lean heavily into that. Instead, it just felt a little bit more conventional, like a sort of a murder mystery. And it was a kind of overwrought, I felt. So I was a bit sort of disappointed by Cruising. It wasn't this full on force of depravity that I expected and dreaded.
Well, I would say you would have to look at the film
in the context
through the
of
lens
when it was made.
In the context of when it was made, because the stuff that's in it that's suggested in the film from a 1980s audience point of view is depraved. You know, some of the stuff that's suggested in those S&M clubs is like, oh my god, what's happening there? It's so shocking that now that we've been exposed to the internet and all the horrors that's out there in the world,
and the
freely
meme
at the click
of
a button.
The big black guy with a cowboy hat walking in and assless chaps and slapping him across the face. I remember thinking, I'm finally going to figure out what the fuck that is about and how that fits into the story. And I still don't know how that fits into the story. Like, did they just hire the guy to come in and do it?
I do not know. And also the meme of him, of Al Pacino, just pumping hard on the dance floor. Like, you know, he's just like jawing off his head, like, you know.
Yeah. That's how you do it. That's how I dance.
I found the film very questionable because of how it depicts the gay community or a certain subculture of the gay community. There's only one character who is like just a normal person. So, and all of the rest of the gay characters that are portrayed in this are only seen through the lens of this S&M, this seedy S&M club scene. And they're all seen as predators, or they're all portrayed as something menacing and predatory in my eye.
I didn't like seeing Karen Allen in there. I just thought, she's too pure to be in this kind of film. I just thought, oh, don't do this to Karen Allen. She's got these big headlight eyes and this beautiful big beaming smile, and I just feel like, need somebody harder.
And also, the killer is... They recast the killer, so each time we see the killer, it's a different actor playing the killer. So
yeah, which is questionable, I think.
Yeah. Because when you finally do meet the killer, it's kind of like, oh, was that him?
Yeah.
That, you know, it's that sense.
Different voice, different build. The moment where I just thought, like, I don't think I kind of like that was the very, 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 very end when Al Pacino, who has been he's been so compromised by going undercover that he's so haunted he can't look at himself in the mirror. And then he mm-hmm. looks down the barrel of the camera with this sort of like hollowed out, like come and see type, he's been to Vietnam and back type. Mm-hmm. And I just thought this is so melodramatic.
It actually ties into one of the aspects of the undercover scenes is that, you know, as we discussed at the top of the show, or just mentioned, how when characters go undercover, they are transformed and changed by, you know, walking in that other world for a period of time. And I think what the film is suggesting is that Al Pacino has become gay, that he was a closeted homosexual and that he's gay.
Because you can there's a tell scene- that Friedkin is like dealing with some sort of straight man fear of catching the gay.
Catching it, yeah, that's what it is. And it's seen as a horrific thing. Like, you know, look at him,
that's where it felt more dated to me, even though it was, I always love seeing a bygone era. So that New York, which is completely gone now, that scary as fuck kind of New York, and those types of back alley establishments, it's always fascinating. Because the verisimilitude of what Freaking goes for, I always enjoy. But you can... I just wonder whether somebody who was probably more in that community, what their take on that material would have been. Because for me, just looking at it, thinking, this just feels a bit... It felt very dated in terms of its fear of the unknown.
Yeah. It was very much, look at these... It was from a lens of, look at these others, these strange, dangerous, sinister others. And I just don't think that's...
Yeah.
I think it's a horrible depiction. What is very interesting about Cruising is the origin story of the idea, which came on the set of The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The extra.
Yeah, there was... So in the famous scene in The Exorcist where Regan, isn't that her name, the little girl's name, she's getting a spinal tap done. You know,
she's getting a dye put in, and they're lancing her... carotid artery,
something like that. Yeah. Oh God, is that what is actually happening?
Yeah, because so, the blood starts spurting, doesn't it?
Oh yeah,
that's why you always tend to black out. Her head can twist around 5 fucking times, and she can vomit a pea soup. But it's when the blood, the arterial spray, is like shooting out. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna black out.
Yeah, I actually can see you going a bit pale as we even talk about it. There's an extra in this like an orderly or some sort of nurse, who's a character who ended up becoming someone who had killed. He was a gay man, but he ended up killing someone and dismembering their bodies. This is in real life. And Friedkin learned about this extra that was in The Exorcist who had done this, but he ended up being convicted or being forced to confess to multiple other homicides, unsolved cases of these individuals who frequented gay bars and stuff like that. So he was kind of like, I suppose... But I don't think he actually did kill them. I don't think it turned out that he actually did murder all these other people.
No, he did.
But did he kill them all? Well, okay, sorry.
I just lost... I wasn't 100% paying attention to you because I was looking at the clock and thinking, oh God, we've only got 9 minutes left. But yeah. No, the guy, the Exorcist guy,
yeah,
he did kill people. He was in prison.
Oh, he definitely killed one. Yeah, he definitely killed one. But I think what happened was he had other cold cases thrust upon him.
Yeah, wasn't it that he was on drugs, so he said he could only remember killing one person, but he couldn't remember killing any of the others.
I think that's it. Yeah. And so that was kind of like the genesis or the kind of starting point of the idea for Cruising for Friedkin.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. It's really interesting that he did it.
It's worth watching, mainly to see one of the titans of 70s cinema sort of navigate the 80s before he takes a huge left turn and makes a film that I didn't think he was capable of making.
Which was
poppy Miami Vice type To Live and Die in LA.
Yeah, this is a fucking incredible fucking film.
Best undercover scene out next week.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And here is a clip from the lad's latest Mini Bits bonus show. The full episode, plus 100 more, are available on their Patreon.
What up, Target?
With Will and Kev.
Will and Kev, best for sure, here to play Patreon. Two writers, street name bros, winning battles, razzies, fuck no, films are fun, that's their motto. Hit subscribe, you've won the lotto. Silly skits, laughs on cue, sound effects, yeah, they got them too. They're Egypts, they don't give a damn, too hot to hand. Ask your man, movie series, whatever you like. Two fun guys on the mic, that's Will and Kev. Back on their bullshit, more mini bits and magic moments. So get it right, best bits for the show, it's dynamite, let's go.
Who are you, man?
It's our lad.
Tis.
We'll do that again.
Mini bits. Raw.
How are you, Will?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm grand. It's our last mini bits.
Aww.
I know.
It doesn't feel like it is our last one, though. You know, it's that feeling of like, no, it's not our last mini bits.
Why? What have you heard?
I haven't heard anything. It just doesn't feel like it. It just doesn't feel like it's our last one.
Boss said anything, I've been looking out to see what he says. And no, it's our last podcast on the bonus feed that'll be called Mini Bits. How about that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's under this label, we're going to be putting the title Mini Bits to bed, which I know you don't feel the same way, but I feel a little bit sad about that. I always liked the title Mini Bits. And
do you want to know what the new title is?
Not really, no. What is
it? No, I'm not telling you, no. So all the people that are listening that want to know what the new title is, they're not going to hear it now because you said no. Blame Will.
Are you talking about the new title of the Mini Bits? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Ah, right, okay. It's not as good as Mini Bits.
It's not. I've never liked that title. I thought Mini Bits was it didn't make any sense to me. It was like Mini Bits. But Mini and Bits are the same thing. It's like saying I'm going to watch a movie film.
Films are shit.
We were supposed to do it in like 20 minutes, like hot shots. 20 minute like blast out episodes, and
that's what happens, you see.
Yeah,
it's like we start off going like we'll make them so small we won't have to worry about them, and
yeah,
then we end up doing like hour and a half long mini bits.
Yeah,
that are longer than the main show. I've got to find it now. Vamp, there, you remember what vamp means?
It means hunting down a virgin, arching their head to the side, sticking your fangs into their arteries.
Yes, exactly. Airfecking. I'm not going to do it. I'll save it for the last show because we haven't recorded that yet, because I was like, Will, can we flip around our schedule and give me an extra couple of days to sort of shake off this cold, because I've been sick. I finished the script.
Yeah. Which is very
which
good.
Which I sent to you. You read the sloppiest version of it as well. So I'm sorry about that, but you know, that's what happens when you're on the front line. You take all the bullets.
I'll get over it eventually.
You take all the bullets, all the typos. But you know, when I asked you, were there any typos? You goes, yeah, a couple. And then,
but the problem
was, were they?
But the problem
was, like, there was one where you called the same character twice, and I was like, oh, okay, I'll change that. Then I read through it, and there was probably about 40 typos that I could have, like, cleaned up if you'd mentioned.
But hold on, the problem was, right? This is
there's
the problem.
Too many. There's too many pint out.
No. The problem was, you sent me about 3 or 4 versions of the script in rapid succession of like, sorry, this is an updated version. Sorry, this is the updated version. The version...
No, that was over the course of like a few days.
Oh, I don't know if it was over a few days. No. I don't know if it was over a few days. Problem was...
Well, you took several days to read it.
The problem was that I had put it up onto my Kindle, and the version that was on my Kindle was the version that was on my Kindle.
Oh, so you definitely read the sloppiest version then.
So I don't know.
I think that one...
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
I think that one has my... Are we on a fucking delay again?
No, we're just talking over each other. Let's end the podcast.
That's always my excuse. So you read the version that's got Helen Lehan on the front cover. That was a typo.
She's my favorite screenwriter right now. She's so hot. You should go as Helen. You should just go. You should just.
No, DEI is gone. I'm not going to go as Mr. Kevin Lehan.
Mr. Kevin Lehan, Caucasian.
White Irish Christian. Catholic. oh God!
Bitcoin entrepreneur.
I know, yeah.
We've actually watched loads. Both of us have watched loads of shit. We really have.
I've watched a lot of good stuff as well, though.
You know what I meant. A lot of content. We both watched a lot of content between film and television.
Get it out of your system. You're watching Traitors. Season 2, episode 10. Is that the final episode?
No, it's 12 episodes in season 2 in the US one. It's 12 episodes.
You can skip the 12th episode, I think.
Don't
because that's
stop,
probably a reunion.
Don't.
I'm not giving you spoilers. Episode 12 is a reunion.
Okay. All right. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
No. Apologize.
Sometimes you cannot help yourself but just give very, very loose spoilers. You do it. And it's just like, I'm not telling you, but don't bother watching the last episode because it's really disappointing because the Traitors win.
I never said that. If you go back and listen to the one about New Zealand, I said, enjoy the final episode. It's very disappointing. And I don't care if the Traitors win, if it's satisfying.
Yeah. I actually liked the end of the New Zealand Traitors. I actually did.
Was it the Maori woman that won?
No.
So that was probably the season 1 New Zealand one. You probably watched season 2.
Okay. Yeah, no, the end of season 2, because I was expecting it to go one way.
Hang on. That's the one where there was a guy who was cut completely out of it. It was like Keith or something.
No, that's,
remember I was telling you?
That's the Australian one.
Oh, fuck it. It's all the same.
Yeah.
I can't tell Canadians Americans apart.
But I'm just to close off Traitors New Zealand... Whatever season it was, it must be season 2. I enjoyed it. It was definitely on a lower budget, particularly when you then go straight into US Traitors season 2 and they're in the same castle as they do the BBC show. They're on a bigger budget than the BBC show has because the contestants are staying in the actual castle and not in the Holiday Inn a couple of miles down the road where they have to get a bus. Don't just say this, but they're staying in the castle. There's fireworks. There's like, you know, marching bands and stuff like that. It's like, oh my God, it's such a contrast to see.
What are you thinking about the American one then? Have you settled in? Have you gotten used to the sort of the drama of it all?
Oh yeah, yeah. It's such a totally, it's so interesting to see.
You may be a bachelor. You may be whatever, but this ain't a bachelor and I don't have to kiss your ass for a rose.
Yeah. You can see
she was brilliant, Phaedra.
She was fantastic. Well, she's, you know, I'm not, she's still in it for me. And
she hasn't died yet.
She hasn't shed her mortal coil. I'm enjoying, we're all gripped by it. The drama is at maximum. Just the backstabbing and the thing that frustrates me is the fact that they all know each other from the universe of reality shows. It's like, well, we were together on Bravo. We're all Bravo ladies. And I'm like going, who the fuck?
Yeah, where are they?
They're coming in as a clan already, like, you know, and but they're some very big characters.
You know, in the States, those personality types are like A-list celebrities within that genre. There's one of them, Parvati.
Oh, yeah.
She's like been on a dozen reality shows. And now, having watched The Traitors, I see her constantly on the telly. She's like doing red carpets, interviewing people on the red carpet. And
wow.
And it's, yeah, it's odd. It's a whole ecosystem. The thing that stuck out to me watching the American version is there's nothing about them as people. It's just gamesmanship, mm-hmm. gamesmanship all the time.
Yeah.
They're fully players. They're not really people. And also, I look at it and think they must spend ages getting ready before they go down to film, because they walk into the breakfast table and they're like done up as if they're going to walk a red carpet.
Ah, well.
My fucking hell. They've got like full slap makeup on, hair done. They're wearing bejeweled gowns and stuff.
This is done on a budget. So the whole, you know, squad of makeup and wardrobe and all that has to be there. So they're not going in doing their own makeup. They have people, a team doing their makeup.
No, exactly.
For them, you know?
But it kind of adds to the artifice. I'll say this though. If you have managed to get on board with season two, season three is amazing. You're going to love season three.
Brilliant. We're just having a great time. It's a great family shared experience. Do you want to know with season two, what's been a bit of a delight in my house personally for me, is one of the surprise contestants is the only, maybe he's the only English contestant in it, is your man John, who was the former Speaker of the House. In the comments.
John Burko. Yeah,
John Burko.
Very
right.
Long-winded.
But he is
silent assassin.
He's great. And in my house, you know what's been delightful? Is how my Ellie has taken him under her wing. As in, she's like, he's Florence Nightingale. Well done, John. She's like, positively encouraging him. John, you did so well today. Don't worry if you fell down. It's okay. Oh no, John, are you okay? Like, he falls over and he gets his tummy all covered in muck, and she's like, oh, I'm so worried about John. I hope he's okay. Like, she's
wasn't there a big drama about whether John actually had asthma or not?
There was.
I can remember this one a bit better because I only watched it in January. It was as soon as the UK one ended, I watched the American one because I couldn't bear the first season of the American one.
Yeah.
It was just too much of a culture shock for me, and I think they settled down a bit. But season two, I really enjoyed, and season three so far, I'm on episode 9.
Okay.
Is fantastic. It's so vicious. But you're going to enjoy that as well.
Oh, we're lovely.
Anyway, that's our traitors talk. We got it out of the way.
Yeah, it's great. It's all great. I love it all. It's great. Give me more traitors. Let's talk about the most recent. What's the most recent one? What's the one you're going to bring up?
I was going to say, before you rudely interrupted me, the most recent thing you've seen is Captain America: Brave New World. So take it away. What did you think of it?
Mini bits.